have a thought on my heart, and we desire your prayers concerning this. I appreciate what the Lord has done for us, what He's trying to do. And I can see that the Lord's trying to get us to heaven. It's something when you... My wife said the other day, she was telling somebody, she said, "Oh, being saved is so wonderful." She said, "Isn't it, honey?" And I said, "Yes." She said, "But do you know what I'm talking about?" I said, "Yes." And we kept talking about it. And I said, "What do you think I've been trying to tell you all along? It's wonderful. When you really get it right, and when you really get it down within, it's like an artesian well. You can't cap it." And in all of this, in all of our thinking, in all of our trying to live for the Lord, He has a goal in mind for us. He wants to see us make it in. I want to put my thought on the board here. Kind of familiar you're saying, isn't it? Don't touch it. It seems like something about when you tell people don't do something, that's just what they want to do. It seems like the enemy, in its own way, makes mankind curious to find out why you don't want me to touch that. I got this thought one day. I was in Mississippi. And I was kind of out in the van trying to get a little rest. And in between my little naps, I can hear the sisters telling the children, "Don't throw those rocks. Don't, boy, put them rocks down. Don't throw those rocks." And very soon, he'd get on the other side of the van, I can hear him howling again. "Don't throw those rocks. I've told you twice already." And pretty soon, he's on the other side again, and what do you think he's doing again? Throwing rocks. Well, pretty soon you hear, "Pop, pop, 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 pow!" What follows... When you are told or instructed not to touch something, there's something that follows it. "Three strikes and you're out," somebody said. Seems like mercy door closes, doesn't it? Well, let's look at it on a spiritual line now. In the third chapter of Genesis, I need someone to kind of help read for us, and you pray for us. I mentioned before that it's been quite a while, and here just of the last week, maybe or so, I was able to maybe read my Bible just a little bit, not very long, but just kind of look at a few scriptures, and sure feel good to read. But all the period of months, I haven't been able to do that because of severe pains and sufferings. But the Lord would come along, and He would speak to me, and never before had I had the Lord to come and talk to me in such a manner as He been in the past now, and as of late, rather. And I just sometimes just kind of lay right there and just let Him talk to me. But in doing that, I begin to get a hold of something in the Scripture. In the third chapter of Genesis, begin reading at verse 1. Somebody, please.
Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast in the field.
Now I want us to pay close attention to the Word of God. Now, read on.
Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast in the field which yes. the Lord God had made.
The Lord God had made.
And he said unto the woman.
And he said unto the woman.
Yea, hath God said ye shall not eat of every tree of the
garden? Yea, has God said that you may not eat of every tree of the garden?
And the woman said unto the serpent.
And the woman said unto the serpent.
We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden.
We may eat of the tree of the fruit of the garden.
But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it. Neither shall ye touch it.
Neither shall you touch it.
Lest you die.
Lest you die.
Yes.
Now notice something about the Scriptures here. That God began to give his plan, and this is the first account that I've come across where the Lord told somebody don't do something.
Yes.
And in this, he said, you may partake of all that you may want here. Now, this is the part that I look at. There are things that in the midst of the garden, there are things that are in God that you and I can partake of. But it seems like the very thing he warns us against, that's the very thing. The devil comes along and stir folks up. That's what I want to deal with. And I believe the reason I want to deal with it, because you told me, don't do it. You tell a child, you said, son, don't touch that. And that's the very thing you touch. That's the very thing you watch him and it touches. Because of the fact, that is that sin principle that we have to work on with our children, even with ourselves. May God help you and I to get a hold of something here. That thing begin to grow up in you and I when you and I are around the truth. Oh, it's a blessing. But I'm going to tell you something. Many times we hear the Word of God and we don't acknowledge the Word of God. We hear it and we just let it slide over our head. And many times, lots of times, 95% of the time, we get into trouble.
Yes.
Son, don't touch that. And in his little way, he looks up as if to say, why? And once you explain to him why, he still wants to touch it. But now, in his touching, he's sneaking and doing it. You know why he's sneaking and doing it now? Because you said to him, son, if you touch that, you're going to get a spanking. See the consequences? The Lord God had made it known that they can partake of everything in the garden. But right in the midst of the garden, he said, we don't want you to mess with this. There's something about this. We can have all the good things of life. But yet we'll allow the enemy to come along and tempt you and I with something that's not worth being tempted. Life is beautiful, isn't it? But when we come to think about where will we spend eternity, where will I spend my life, and we spend a month of Sundays, if I can say it that way, trying to convince people that I want to spend my life in heaven, don't you? It seems like the vast majority of folks, you warn them about hell and damnation, you warn them about losing their soul, and yet right in the midst of it all, leave me alone, preacher. Let me go. I want to do my thing, and you do yours. There's one thing I didn't want to be, and that was a preacher. Seemed like, I don't know, I don't know if people get a hold of things altogether. The fellow that wants to be a preacher. I know the Scripture says it's good to desire the office of a bishop, but I didn't want to be a preacher. See, my thing is, and was in my mind at the time, it's hard enough for me doing what I'm doing than to tell somebody else to give them instruction, and you just spin, look like till you're blue in the face, and you said, well, here's the way it goes, here's the way you should do it, and they go right on and do it the way they want to do it anyway. And when the ball falls out the cart, they'll come to you and they'll put the whole blame. It's your fault. Yeah, bless the Lord. It's your fault. Well, the blame came in here, did it not? Yes. When the beast of the field, when the enemy began to tempt Eve and begin to deal with her thoughts and minds about the tree in the midst of the garden, all these other beautiful things around, you can have them. Just eat as much as you want. Just get as much as you want. But here, please, don't touch this. And what do you think she did? That's the very one that made her curious. We spend camp meeting after camp meeting, day in and day out, preaching the gospel and to tell you, to warn you about sin and damnation. To warn you that if you lose your soul, you're lost. And yet many times, seem like it rides over our heads. Yet many times, young ladies, we try to instruct them and try to tell them there's danger ahead for you. No, I must find out for myself. Sometimes they come back and they say, you done got old now. You've done all you want to do. Let me have a little fun. Let me do what I want to do. Let me find out. You may not make it back like somebody else did. But he said, but the tree that's in the midst of the garden, he said, don't touch it. The day that you touch it, now notice he said, the day that you touch it, you'll die. The time in the moment that you and I flirt around with sin, we die. We die. The warning comes, telling you and I to get away from it. Oh, listen. Seemed like to me, being raised in a Christian home, what a blessing. It seemed like many our young people take it for granted. What a blessing to be raised around a family altar. What a blessing to be able to sit down and confess your faults and being able to be healed and the Lord can come in and bless you and you see the power of God working. But seems like people trying to get out from under that. Don't touch it. That's my thought this evening. Don't touch it. The day, the time you touch it, you die. Well, I want to see just what it's like. All I want to do is just to see what it's like. You know, down in New Orleans, most of you have heard of Bourbon Street. Huh? But I see people, they won't say, I'm going down to the French Quarters, to Bourbon Street. You know what they'll say? I'm going to eat some beignets. Amen. Bourbon Street is just a few blocks over. But their curiosity, many times their curiosity, I've heard so much about this street, I just want to peep in. Get thought? We may not go right into it. We may not go, but we'll move like Lot did, close around the corner from it. You're pretty quiet in here, isn't it? See, See, we don't go directly and do it. You take a young child. When he got in his mind to touch something that you told him don't touch, he don't just go right in and stick his hand in it. He's going to find out where you are. Amen. He's going to go back to the door 2 or 3 times, peeping to see where you are. Then he's going to ease a little closer to it. He peep again. And so finally, when he turned to do it, and then up pop you, what are you doing? I wasn't doing nothing. You get the message? The first thing hit out of my mind, I didn't do it. I wasn't doing anything. Oh, yes, you were. Well, if you weren't doing anything, why are you hanging around the area while I told you don't hang around?
Yes. Amen.
People get saved, we tell them, change your company. Change your friends. But they still feel, I want to hang around. Oh, he's a good friend of mine. Or she's a good friend of mine. And you don't understand. Yes, we do understand. You need to change your company. You need to go for God if you're going to go for Him. But we lean toward the area where I came out from, supposedly. And pretty soon, I'm caught up again. See? Don't touch it. Somebody get the scripture over in Proverbs where it says, avoid it. Pass not by it. You pray for us. Don't touch it. I think it's something in the word don't that has a tendency of stirring up men. When you tell a man he can't do something, that's what he's going to prove to you he can do.
Proverbs 4:15.
All right, hold it right there. Something about a man, he don't want you to think he's weak. See, he's the lion of the company. And he don't want you to feel that he's weak. Oh, you can't do this. And young people, I've been around where young people seem like the devil get into folks and they begin to tell our young folks, are you scared? Here, take a puff on this. No, I don't do that. You're scared. I thought you wanted to be with us. I thought you wanted to be as strong as we are. And they find themselves leaning that way to prove something. Men always have been trying to prove something. But when it comes down to proving that I love God, seems like we get slack right through there. Seems like we get slack right through there. Hey, every one of you, thirst, come, eat. Delight your soul in fat. Okay, Proverbs.
4:14 and 15.
All right, read that.
Enter not into the path of the wicked.
Enter. Now listen up to warning, see? Notice, God has been dealing with folks all the way down the line. He's been trying to tell them, don't do it, don't touch it, leave it alone, don't go by it, avoid it. Enter not in the path of the wicked.
And go not in the way of evil men.
Don't do it. Don't go in the path of evil men. Oh, I wish that I had this kind of counsel years ago when I was a little fella. I wish somebody would have took time up with me when I was a little fella and told me don't do it like that. Seemed like when I did get the counsel, I was already out there. You suffer for things that you do. Some people seem to think, I had one brother years back, he was kind of raised up around the truth. And I was in a certain area, and I was preaching one night, and he come to me that night and talking to me. He said, "Oh, if I'd have done the things that you have done, I could be a better preacher." At that time, my wife wasn't saved. He said, "If I had your wife, I would be a better preacher." I said, "Yeah, you would. God gave you just what He wants you to have. And now you're going to figure if you had my problems and my troubles, it'll make you a better person." No, I don't want nobody to have my problems. But see, in our minds, people think, well, if I get down on Bourbon Street, maybe if I get just to tiptoeing around sin and just to see what they are doing, then I'll know how to tell somebody else. And little do you know, as you tiptoe closer to it, you're involved. Avoid it. Seem like simple words. Seem like words like this. Just avoid it. Please don't go that way. But it seemed like it hard to register in people's minds. Read them.
Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away.
Why is this so important? Why do you have to say so many times, avoid it, don't go that way, pass not by it, turn away from it? Because the warning. Now, we're getting warnings here. Been getting warnings in the meeting. And I know there's some of us here that have needs. Great needs. But we'll wash over them, see. Oh, some kind of way in our mind, we'll feel, oh, it's going to be all right. It's going to work itself out. No, it's not. It's not going to work itself out. If you and I don't get out of the business and acknowledge it with God, it's not going to work itself out. It's going to multiply and it's going to get worse and worse. But yet somehow or another, we feel in our mind that, oh, it'll be all right after a while. We kind of like fool ourselves, and we kind of like pat ourselves on the shoulder and say, "Well, you're about as good as Brother so-and-so, and you'll make it, you'll be all right." You know what God is desiring? God is desiring to see us just get right down to old-fashioned business with Him. That's what He designed. Sometimes we just seem like we just get ourselves in a place and we just kind of guide along. And let me tell you something. Casual Christianity is not going to be enough to make heaven. Just casually going along. And there we are with needs. And those needs that we have, we don't get help for them. You know what we're doing? We're causing those same needs to just to work off on someone else too. Somebody else is going to be in trouble. Well, I don't see him getting any help, and he seemed to be doing fine, and I'm not getting much either. Don't touch it. Don't touch it. There's a warning behind it all. It says, don't touch it. The day you do, that's the day you die. Yes. See, why we can't get that registered? Is it worth me losing my soul for a fella?
No.
For a girl? Is it worth me losing my soul and burning in forever and ever into eternity for something of gratification of the flesh? No. said, don't touch it. Now, here are all the goodies in the garden you can have. But I don't want that. Man has a tendency of wanting something that's going to hurt him. When a man pick a wife, generally, he's looking for the best looking girl in the crowd. Hello? 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 Come on now. Come on. You can agree to that. Generally, he's looking over the crowd, and he wants the best looking one in the crowd. The best looking one all the time ain't the best one. But now, it's hard for him now, after he done saw the prettiest one in the crowd, to go over here and pray for a wife. She keep flashing up. Lord, I want her. That's the one I want, Lord. But no. I have just one for you. Well, Lord, who do you have me? You'll see her tonight at me. And when she get up to sing with the rest, and the Lord said, there she is. Oh, no, Lord. Not me. Not me, Lord. See what I'm talking about? But this is the one that's going to be good for you. No, Lord. I want her. I want her. Don't touch it. But I want her. Somebody get the Cajun Samson over there. When Samson's father and his mother told him, said, Samson, why not get one out of his group here? Why not take your wife out of your people? But I don't want one of them. I saw somebody down there I want one. And you go get her for me. But Samson. Now who's going to argue with Samson? See what I'm talking about? Who's going to argue with Samson when he said, now go get her? Son, are you sure? So why can't you see the pleading? Why can't you have one from your family here? Why can't you get one out of the congregation here? No, that ain't what I want. I'm 18 now, and I know what I want. No, you don't. You don't know what you want. But this one is the one that would be good for you. No. Look at her. You don't like the way she looks. And I don't like the way... No. She ain't for me. But she is. And what happened? You got that occasion, Samson, over there?
Samson went down to Timnath.
Yes.
And saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines.
All right.
And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife.
Get her for me to wife. Read.
And his father and his mother said unto him,
mm-hmm.
Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren? Are among all my people that thou goest to take the wife of the uncircumcised Philistines?
All right, now.
And Samson said unto his father, get her for me.
Get her for me.
He pleases me well.
And we know how it transpired. He went on and got her. Did it do his soul any good? Why is it that we get into trouble before we can see the light of it? Why are we going too blind? We just go right on into it. Because this is what I want. The flesh reaching out now. And don't tell me I prayed through. No. I don't believe too many And I don't mean to be critical here. But what I'm saying today, I kind of wonder if we're praying through. I feel to believe when you marry somebody God didn't give you, it ought to be juicy sweet. Amen? Hello? You with me? God gave it to you? Is He going to give you a sour plum? If you ask me for a fish, will I give you a serpent? I know what He's talking about over there, about the Holy Ghost. But He's talking about God knows how to give good gifts to them that love Him. He gives good gifts. No, that's sour plum. You pick it. Now your teeth on edge. And it's kind of a. And every other kind of hate. If I'm living with you and I don't love you. Amen. Well, somebody said, well, if she die, you can marry again. And then she outlives you anyway. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Sitting around waiting for her to die, you'd be around here and be dead and gone. But I'm saying, why is it that we just jump right into it head first and we say, "Woo, the Lord sure blessed me today." Well, is He still blessing you now? Huh? Amen. When the reverses come. See, we look at it this way. Oh, the Lord blessed me with $1,500. What about that old neighbor living right next door to me that I can't stand? That always gives me trouble. We don't look at that as a blessing. The Lord blessed me with a neighbor that, ooh, praise the Lord. We look at our blessings differently, don't we? Somebody come along and gave me a check. Lord bless me with a good job. I'm making $15 an hour. But what about that person next door that always pray God? Yes. Is that a blessing? We're saying that mighty low tonight. We don't think of it that way. See how men think? Men think, just give me the best of what I can see. What I can see, give it to me. That's what I want. Go down and get this woman for me. It cost Samson dearly. Samson went on down, and you know the story. Samson went on down and began to toy with the thing, and she began to... It seemed like the first time she asked me where my strength lies, and I told her somebody come flying at her to beat me up, I'd have thought twice. Seemed like then.
Yes.
But I'm going to show you something. When you begin to get involved, you don't think like that. Let's read the account. Let's go down with the account slowly. Seemed like we get a blessing out of it. Get down there where he didn't got down there now, and he ate a good meal, and now he's probably, I can just see in my mind, I figured out he's kind of laying there across the couch, maybe his head in her lap, and she just, Samson, where is your strength?
All right, this is 16th chapter. Then went Samson to gaze and saw there in harlot.
Mm-hmm.
Gazite saying, Samson has come hither. They compassed him in and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and quiet all night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. Okay. And Samson lay till midnight and arose at midnight and took the doors of the gate of the city.
That's the first occasion. What did she tell him when she asked about his strength? What did he say?
It came to pass in the fourth verse afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah.
Uh-huh.
The lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth. and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him.
Women folk, you know you've got to be very careful. You got to be very careful. Read them.
And we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver.
1,100 pieces of silver. Read on.
Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee.
Tell me, I pray thee.
Wherein thy great strength lies.
Wherein thy great strength lies.
And wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee.
All right, read.
And Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green whips.
If they bind me with 7 green whips. Read.
That were never dried.
Never dried.
Then shall I be weak and be as another man.
Then shall I be weak and be as another man.
Then the Lord of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs which had not been dried, and she bound him with them.
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. What was he thinking about to sit there and let him tie him up in the first place? He's toying around with it, see?
Yes, he is.
Samson, when you was told, don't go down there in the beginning. But now once you've got in there, you begin to toy around with it. I can just see him there. He's just letting it tie him up. He's kind of laughing in the back of his mind. All right? But the devil had a plan. Many times, we can socialize with our company and we don't want to change our company. And the first thing hit our mind, I'm too strong for that. The one that's doing that is weak. They're weak. That's why they're doing it. But I'm too strong for that. I come from a good family. And see, our people think. I'm too strong for that. So I'll just kind of go along with the crowd. I'll just see where they're going and how far they're going to try to go with this thing. All right, read.
Now there were men lying in wait.
Mm-hmm.
Biding with her in the chamber.
All right.
And she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he break the withs as the thread of tow is broken when he touches the fire.
Now, seemed like to me, Samson should have kept running. When he broke the door, the gate, or whatever he took with him, he should have kept going. But it's something about it, folks. It's something about when you tell a man, don't touch something. When you tell an individual, don't touch it. They're coming back again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Avoid it. Pass not by it.
Yeah.
But they're coming back again. And the devil knows that. The plan that he has, he don't care if it takes him 20 years to get you where he wants you. He'll go for it. Yeah. What did he have to lose anyway? What does he have to lose anyway? All right? It's the first occasion. Read again.
So his strength was not known.
His strength was not known.
And Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me.
You mocked me.
Told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be.
Don't seem like it took a very long to come right back, did it? Now I pray thee, tell me. Read.
And he said unto her, if they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man.
Here we go again.
Therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith, and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee.
All right.
And there were liars in wait abiding in the chamber, and he brake them from off his arms like a thread.
All right, listen. Second occasion. But notice, every time he go another step, he getting closer and closer to being bound. Every time, young folks, you want to see what it's like. You want to try to get a little vision in your mind. You're getting closer and closer to being bound. I'm going to tell you something. You remember when you were younger than what you are now? And as you was raised up around the family altar, seemed like you were beginning to enjoy the prayer. Begin to enjoy the singing in the home. The blessing of the table. Mom and Dad maybe coming in praying with you before you go to bed. But you and I, if we're not careful, we begin to get away from that. We begin to get away from the prayer. We begin to get away from the family altar. We begin to get away from our hearts being tender. I used to remember years ago when a message went forth, the altar just filled up. Now you got to plead. The preacher preach. Somebody gets up and exhort. Somebody sing a song. Somebody gets up and exhort again. Somebody sing another song. And then pretty soon, you might see somebody coming. You see how hard it is now? See how hard it is now when all of a sudden, before the preacher can get through preaching, the altars begin to feel. Hearts tender. And I'm going to tell you something. The harder your heart gets, the harder your children's heart is going to get. They're going to go farther than what you've gone. Our children will go a greater distance than what we've gone. And it's very important that you and I begin to train and teach them more about God. And they're going to need to see God in us. That's the secret of it all. They're going to see God in us. We can say, son, don't do this, don't. Who are you talking to? They're going to need to see tears in your eyes. They're going to need to see you and I weep before God. But when they see the stout-heartedness in us, you watch them. When they see us how we handle mama, you watch how they're going to do. When they don't hear you say, honey, I love you, you watch what they do. When they see you murmur and complain about your spoon is on the wrong side of your plate, you got folks like that. I've told you time and time again, my fork's supposed to be over here, not over there. And I'm saying, does it matter? Just give me something to eat with. You see the difference? Some folks are just so particular. They're so precise. They want it so just right. And when it get down to God, they're loose. They're loose. Prayer life loose. Fasting and getting a hold of God loose. Don't touch it. Let's find out, Samson.
Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies.
You mocked me.
Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound.
Now tell me.
And he said unto her, if thou weavest the seven locks in my head.
Now wait a minute. Hold it. If you back up and you get the account, the scripture said he loved her. He's getting close, wasn't he? Now he's getting closer. It went from his hands to his head. If you do what?
If thou weavest the seven locks of my head into a web.
Yes. Read on.
And she fastened it with the pin. Said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson.
All right.
And he awaked out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web.
All right then.
And she said unto him.
Now notice something here. It don't say all together, but in my mind I'm thinking those fellows that was pinning her now begin to put pressure on her Musa. That's what happens when you and I begin to toy around with it. The devil began to apply more pressure. First you looked at it. You wanted to see what it looked like. The next thing you did, you smelled. Wanted to see what it smelled like. Now I'm just, maybe if I taste it, it won't hurt. And that's where we get hooked. No doubt some of you want to try it. I want to go out and see what the world is like. I'm tired of dressing like I'm dressing. I just want to be me for a change. I want to let the wind blow through my hair. And besides, it's too long now anyway. Let me just flip it, flop it, cut it, twist it. And little by little, we're being drawn into a place of bondage. Little by little, that's what happens. But it all started back when they said, don't touch it. Young folks, get a hold of God. Young people, get sanctified. Get your passion sanctified. Get the flesh sanctified. It's not a game we're playing. Well, let's find out what Samson went from there.
And she said unto him, how canst thou say I love thee when thy heart is not with thee?
Really putting it on now.
Thou hast mocked me.
It's something about, excuse me, brother. It's something that seemed like a woman had the ability to deal with her man. Hello?
Yes.
All right, you watch this. As little and feeble as she is, as weak as she's supposed to be, and husband can come home and say, you're not going to have it. We're not going to do that. No, we're not doing that. I remember when we was buying a car, my wife comes home and she said, I want this Buick Regal. And I didn't want a two-door car. I wanted a four-door car. I wanted something you can get in and out and not be cooped up in. And she said, I want this Buick Regal. And I said, no, honey, we're not gonna deal that way. No. So all that week, Monday I had the red carpet rolled out, potato pies, all the things that, you know, normally I said, honey, would you cook me a pie? I don't feel up to it. You don't need no pie. But now, here comes the potato pie, and I didn't even ask for it. And on Tuesday, oh, just everything was just sweet peaches. Sweet peaches. That went on for about 5 days. And on that sixth day, she said to me, she said, honey, can I please have the Regal? I said, yes.
It works.
It's something about the ability that women have. They know they can do it. And Lord, help us today. We can be strong in the line. We can be swayed. Seems like they know how to do it. But I wish you would use that God you would give to get me closer to God. Not cause me to let down the standard. Not cause me to back away from God. But challenge me. You got faith like a man. Challenge me to get close to God. Sway me that way. Samson began to deal with his head again. Never before has a razor come upon my head. You shave my head and I'm weak as in your flesh. But the Bible says something. She vexed him every day.
She pressed him daily.
She pressed him daily.
And urged him.
And urged him and pressed him and urged him.
So
finally he just gave up. Shave my hair. Just give me a haircut.
He told her all his heart and sent it to her. There had not come a razor upon my head. For I have been a Nazarene unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man.
Now notice something, and I get a hold of it. The minute he got his head shaven and his strength was gone, the first thing they did when it caught him was what? Put his eyes out. You know that's the way the devil do. Don't want you to see the gospel. When you done got drawn away from your family altars, when you done got drawn away from the very presence of God, and you just trying to see what's going on out there, you begin to get your eyes put out. Oh, it don't seem as bad as they say.
That's right.
Sin is terrible.
That's right.
Sin is bad. And you begin to think, oh, shit's all right. Put your eyes out. All right.
And she said, the Philistines be upon us.
Okay.
Samson, and he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before.
No, you won't.
And shake myself.
That's what we do. We shake ourselves. Too late to shake sometime now.
And he went.
Oh, I'm going to be just as I was before. No. Let me tell you something. When you back away from God, there are times people come back to an altar and try to pray, and they feel, well, I'm going to get saved like I did before. And there's time that you do not feel the power, the presence of God the second time like you did the first.
Amen.
Sometimes it'll be a while before the Lord begin to witness and visit with you. And I, listen, you know, the first time your heart was just tender, you just came weeping, and it seemed like the Lord met you there. But I see now, after I went and drawing myself away from God, and I come back and I begin to pray and seem like, oh, I can't seem to get through. Can't seem to get above my head. But when they caught him, read, brother.
And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes.
Put out his eyes. Let me tell you, folks, we're in this meeting. Don't let the devil put our eyes out. That we just won't see our need. That we just won't see what I really need in my soul. Oh, many times the Lord wants to come down and bless you and I abundantly. And we won't allow Him even to come in the door. Because we're going to do just like we did all the other times. I'm just going to hold my place just where I am. And what are folks going to think anyway if I go to... I'm going to tell you something. May God help us young and old. We need to have God working so in our lives that people can see something.
Yes, amen.
I believe we're shortchanging ourselves and God too. God wants to bless us abundantly, but we won't allow it. We won't just turn loose. What would happen if we just all in here just turn loose and let God? Lord, just burn me up. Somebody said, I sang 468. Send the power down. God's power is no stronger than His Word. The Word gets down to the marrow of the bone, joints and marrow, way on down in there. And the power comes with it when you and I accept the Word and let God work. But we want God to send the power down and burn up areas and burn up places. You know what God wants to burn? He wants to burn right in here.
Amen.
He wants to burn right inside you. And He wants to light us up.
Amen. Yes, amen.
And we won't allow Him. We just want to trim the lamp down low. We won't allow to let God just burn us up. You're out of order services. Where the Holy Ghost come down and who preached? the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
He's got the burning souls up on their seat.
Amen.
See, I want him to just, Lord, burn the places where I, it'll make me move up.
Amen.
Make it too hot right there.
Yes, Lord.
Put Samson's eyes out. Then they bound him.
Bound him with fetters and brass.
And put him to work. All because he was told, don't go that way. Don't touch it. Avoid it. Pass not by. The curiosity comes when we're told, don't do it. Over in John, it said, love not the world. See, it went from don't touch it to coming right on over here and said, now, love not the world. Don't get involved and caught up with the world and the way it's doing things. You know, I've seen people sit down and read the newspaper and get up vexed, get up stirred up. Now, why does that man do that? See, we can keep up with the news, and that's all right if you want to do that. But I'm going to tell you something. The world will have to deal with the world. Because I sit down and read the paper, don't mean that I'm going to change something that they're doing. But it will change me if I'm not careful. I was laying in my bed one night, and I heard one of the saints come on a talk radio station. Hello? They voicing their opinion. And I listened. And I said, hey, that's Sister So-and-so. Somebody gonna hear it. I'm way, thousands of miles away, and I hear Sister come on the radio, and she was talking, and I was ashamed. I said, Lord, have mercy. Wasn't talking about Jesus either. You don't get on there very long talking about God. They shut you off quick. But I'm saying we get all involved in how the world is doing things and what they're doing. And listen, we need to be right out there on that old street corner just preaching the gospel. But we'll pass by and see a fellow over there preaching saying, I wonder what he's doing out here. Excuse me. That's where we ought to be. That's just where we ought to be. Right out there on that corner, telling people, don't pass by. Avoid it.